Good morning, everyone. On Sundays, I have been talking on this text, opening the hand of thought. Last week, I talked on the second paragraph of page 58. So I continue from the third paragraph of the same page. I'd like to talk two paragraphs today, if possible. So let me read these two paragraphs. If we have this book, page 58. The activities in our everyday lives are almost entirely the result of chasing after ideas this way, causing vivid lifelike images to become fixed in our mind, and then giving more and more weight to these fixed delusions and desires, until finally we get carried away by them. It would be even more accurate to say that ordinarily we are being flung about by desire and delusion without even knowing it. It is like a man who is drinking sake, consuming fantasies. At first, he knows that he is getting drunk, but when he gets to the stage where the sake is drinking the man, then he is adrift in fantasies without even knowing it, and he acts accordingly. Almost all people and societies throughout the world today are carried away by desire and delusion. This is precisely why our Zazen comes to have such a great significance. When we wake up during Zazen, we are truly forced to experience the fact that all the things we develop in our thought vanish in an instant. Despite the fact that we almost always stress the content of our thoughts, when we wake up, we wake up to the reality of life and make this reality our center of gravity. It is at this time that we clearly realize that all the desires and delusions within our thoughts are substantially nothing. When this kind of Zazen experience fully becomes a part of us, even in our daily lives, we will not be carried away by the comings and goings of various images, and we will be able to wake up to our own lives and begin completely afresh from the reality of life. This section is about how to practice. So in the beginning of this section, he explained how to sit, about the posture and breathing, and how what is happening in our mind. And in this is the almost final part of this section. He means Uchiyama Roshi, my teacher, discussed the meaning of this simple practice of just sitting in our lives as an individual and also as a civilization of human beings over this world in which we are living. And as an individual lives, he said, we almost always have, you know, some idea or thought, and that idea and thought are combined with our desire, or three poisonous mind: greed, anger or hatred, and delusion. And then we think the thought we have, because that is my thought, I think this is truth, so I have to do it. I have to take action to actualize my thought. Or if I like this thing to get this, to make this my possession, is almost like my mission. Or if this thing didn't give me a pleasant sensation and we don't like this, then we naturally escape from it. And this become, how can I say, the meaning of our life, to chasing after something we want, or escaping from something we don't want, and being successful either way, become the goal and purpose of our life. So, in this case, our life is always running, you know, running after something or running, escaping from something. So we don't have a peaceful, stable foundation of our life. That is a basic, I think, problem for human beings from Buddhist point of view. And what Buddha taught is we don't need to run, you know, running around. We can be, you know, stable right now, right here. And this running around in the traditional Buddhist teachings is called, the sequence is called Wakugoku. Waku and go and ku. Wakugoku. Waku is a, I think waku is a combination of desire and delusion, or thinking. Sometimes this work is simply translated as a delusion, but it's not delusion or delusive thinking, but this thinking is always, almost always influenced by our desires to get something or to escape from it. And goal is karma, but in this case, action, our activity. So depending upon the combination of delusion and desire, we take action. Then the third thing, ku, means suffering. And as a result of the actions based on our waku, or combination of desire and thinking, or delusive thinking, we take action, then our life becomes suffering. Uchiyama Roshi often used this sequence, and he said, this waku, this is delusion, it's not a real thing, it's only in our mind. But when we take action, this action is a real thing. And the result is not what we are thinking. Result is something we don't expect, because you know, in our thinking, in our mind, for example, when we, for example, when we take a walk or other exercise or jogging or do some kind of exercise, that this is to make me healthy. And that as a thinking, that is very logical. If we want to become a little more healthy, we need to do some exercise. So we do. That is very simple sequence, and logically, I think, correct. But if we run, for example, we do jogging carelessly, we may be hit by a car. Then the result is not what we expected. Because of jogging, we may be injured or even we lose our life. So, you know, this action is a real thing, but thinking is not really a real thing. But we are almost always take action with, based on our combination of desire and thinking. And we think this is a goal, or this is what I want to achieve. Then we try to find what I should do and do it. But this doing or action is the actual thing, and it's not only within this sequence. There are many other sequences, but we don't really see. You know, if we run on the street carelessly, then the car may come and hit. It's very another logical thing, another sequence. But we don't see that sequence. We only see this sequence. And because the result of my action is not something I expected, so I feel suffering. This is not my life. This is what I wanted. This is not what I wanted. That kind of sequence is what you know, Buddha taught. So what in our, what we do in our zazen is let go of this delusive thinking and settle down on the real reality of our life. That is what we do in the Zendo. And as here Uchan Roshi is discussing about the meanings and our significance of our practice of letting go of thought and settle down on the reality of our life, the ground in which we are free from desire and delusion or delusive thinking by letting go. So when we sit facing the wall, we make determination that we don't take any actions based on this kind of thinking and desire. So at least while we are sitting in the Zendo, we don't create any karma. Any karma means either good karma or bad karma. So we just settle down right now, right here, in our life. So in a sense, in that sense, our zazen itself is a liberation from, you know, this kind of sequence. But unfortunately, we cannot sit 24 hours a day. So we have to stand up and go get out of the Zendo and do something. And to do something, we have to use, you know, thinking and also desire. So another thing we have to learn is how we can use, you know, our desire or necessity, sometimes not always desire, but necessity. Necessity or need, our need. You know, desire is something more than our need. And thinking. how can we use this ability without being deceived by desire and delusion, and take action based on need and maybe understanding of what we need and what is the sequence of this action. This is, so there is another sequence can be possible. That is another side of Buddha's teaching. That is cessation of suffering. And as a karma practice is our action and cessation of suffering. And we need understanding of what we have to do. So here is another sequence. Understanding and practice and cessation of suffering. So there are two opposite different sequence. That is in the Four Noble Truths. This is the truth of suffering and cause of suffering. And this is the cessation of suffering and cause of cessation of suffering. And activity is real thing. But what Uchiramuroshi is talking here is we, as an individual, modern person, we almost always live based on this sequence. Desire and expectation and delusive thinking. Delusive means self-centered thinking. It's good for me, not for all beings. That came from the delusion that I am here, I exist, and this is the center of the world. This is the most important thing. And the rest of the things in this world is a kind of a material or resource I can use to make me happy. That is very basic delusion. But with, especially in the modern society, I think that is almost the principle to chasing after satisfaction. Is almost the principle of our life. That is what Uchiramuroshi is saying. Not only certain kind of certain group of people who are really deluded, but all people in the modern society is living on this sequence, based on the idea that I am the center of the world. This is most important to make this self, this person, more important, powerful, and healthy and rich is the goal of our life. I think this is really basic, very basic principle of modern society, at least in our education. That is what Uchiramuroshi is saying in this paragraph, in my understanding. So let me talk sentence by sentence. The activities in our everyday lives are almost entirely the result of chasing after ideas this way. This way means this way. He mentioned about this way of life. Causing vivid lifelike images to become fixed in our mind. So we have some certain fixed image that I want, or I want to reach, or I accomplish. And then giving more and more weight to these fixed delusions and desires until finally we get carried away by them. So So to reach there become only the purpose or goal of my life. It would be even more accurate to say that ordinarily we are being flung about by desire and delusions without even knowing it. Not only, you know, desire, you know, within ourselves, but through the, you know, mass media like a TV or movies, that our desires is stimulated, and they ask me to desire more. That is a kind of a message from the society. So to make more money and buy more things and possess more things become almost like the natural things or good things. And we are really deceived by that kind of message. Message from the society means message from ourselves. So both are, in a sense, as a total function, working as one. So finally, we get carried away by them. And it, the result is not only the suffering of us as individual, but this sequence as all human kind, we, you know, destroy the nature. And, you know, when natures are destroyed, somehow we suffer. So suffering is more and more, can I say, increasing and making bigger and bigger. But somehow, so we have to find another sequence. You know, this book was written in the 70s, I think 71. During that time, you know, that was the period of Cold Wars between communist countries and capitalist countries, and small country like Japan were kind of divided into two sides, and they almost always arguing, not only arguing but fighting. And we had a fear of nuclear war. You know, Soviet Union and United States had nuclear war and nuclear weapons, and nuclear war might happen any time. And not only that, but you know, there was a Vietnam War. That is a how can I say, fighting kind of a representative of communist countries and capitalist. And some part of Japan, of course, basically Japanese government are, you know, the side of United States, but another side, more like not a communist, but they call themselves a socialist or communist or progressive, or they are, some people are anti-war peace movement people. So for many reasons, you know, many people are against Vietnam War or against America. So in Japan, so it was called American imperialism. And many Japanese are shouting, "Yankee, go home." But it was the time. And not only that, you know, until around that time, that is 60s and early 70s, I was a teenager. Until that time, before I became a teenager, the basic message I received from my education is this world is getting better because of the improvement of science or scientific knowledge and technology. Our life become more and better and better. And if you know this science and technology develop enough, more all the problems will be solved and this world would be like a paradise. That was kind of a basic message I received when I was an elementary school pupil. But when I became a high school student, the message completely changed. That you know, those you know, technology and science and also economies were the cause of the problems. Another big problem was the pollution of water and air, and those were caused by big companies. That was kind of a situation when Uchiha Roshi wrote, you know, this kind of a warning to the situation in modern world. It seems, you know, entire human civilization is moved by desire and delusion. Delusion about the utopia. Utopia for communist or socialist or capitalist are different, but anyway, they have certain image of paradise and certain way, you know, they want to do things. And because of that, you know, it seems the world becomes more and more difficult and painful and problematic. I think that was what we started to aware, I think, in the 70s. And, you know, Cold War ended when Soviet Union was, you know, disappeared. But still we have the same problem, I think. And the pollution was not only done by the big companies, but the main source of pollution of air and water and the environment are our own life, the way we live. So I think the same problem continues even today. You know, now because of the laws, you know, the big company did not, yes, still they do. But those, you know, big companies can be controlled by the government, by the law, but the problem is the government are controlled by those big companies. So it's really difficult, but somehow we have to make you know, the second sequence, understanding and practice and cessation of suffering. This is the second kind of sequence taught by Buddha. How can we make this happen? I think is really important. And this is not only for Buddhists, but for all human beings in living in this world, I think. But I think the main point what Uchiha Roshi is saying is how can we, you know, transform our life from delusion, making unwholesome karma and suffering, to understanding or wisdom, practice and cessation of suffering. how can we transform our way of life? And our practice of Zazen, according to Uchiyama Roshi, of letting go of thought, means being free from our delusions and thinking, and settle down, calm down where we are right now, right here. I think that is the, in a sense, turning point to make change of our life and the sequence of our life. And he introduced one example about drinking alcohol. In Japan, drinking alcohol or sake is a really important social thing. And it is said in the beginning, a person drinks sake, but next stage, the sake drinks sake, and the third stage, sake drinks the person. That's the common sayings in Japan. That means, you know, in the beginning, I know I'm drinking sake, so my mind is influenced by alcohol. But in the second stage, I forget that my mind is influenced by alcohol. So I think what I feel while drunk and think is really true. And often when we are drunk, you know, the delusions, we are depressed during our daily lives came up. So we become more delusive. And our desire can be, in Japanese society, openly expressed. You know, people, Japanese people are very much, it's changing now, but until recently, the Japanese people are very kind of tolerant about drinking people, maybe still. But that is the second stage. And third stage, sake drink the person, right? Yes. Then that this person knows or just lost even thinking and just do. Even we forget that I'm drinking. And Uchiyama Roshi used this analogy about our desire and thinking even when we don't drink. We think what we think is real or true, more real than reality itself. And chasing after what we think possible, positive and important is more important, or it becomes only the meaning of my life. So at first he knows that he's getting drunk, but when he gets to the stage where the sake is drinking the man, then he's adrift in fantasies. We are really living within our fantasies, and we take action within the fantasies. Without even knowing it, and he acts accordingly. Almost all people and societies throughout the world today are carried away by desires and delusion. You know, today the economy, world economy is, you know, moved by our delusion and thinking and desire. If, you know, certain number of people have certain same delusions and they did the same thing, then the influence, you know, go over all over the world, and so many people suffer because of, you know, some people's delusion and delusion and desires. This is precisely why our Zazen comes to have such a great significance. When we wake up during Zazen, we are truly forced to experience the fact that all things we develop in our thought vanish in an instant. So while we are sitting, we see, you know, thinking and delusions as it's Dogen, not Dogen, Uchiyamura's quote from the Zen, one of the Zen literature, the bubbles of three poisonous mind are simply empty coming and going. So we can find that we don't need to take action based on what I think, what I desire. Those thoughts and desires are like bubbles coming and going. So if we let go, it goes away. And next paragraph. Despite the fact we almost always stress the content of our thoughts, when we wake up, this wake up is kakusoku, we wake up to the reality of life and make this reality our center of gravity. This means the world of thinking is very distorted, as I always said, very distorted copy of the real reality. But we think the copy, like an atlas or a map, made within our mind is more real than real reality. That is a problem. And when we let go of thought, we let go of that distorted copy of reality. But we simply settle down on the ground of real reality. So our Zazen itself is not the method to make corrections in our distorted atlas or copy, but we simply let go of any, you know, each one of us has different, each one of our maps are distorted in different ways depending upon our karma. But anyway, we simply let go of this distorted copy of reality and settle down, sit down on the ground of real reality. But when we stand up from Zazen and go out, we have to use our map to take action, to do things. Otherwise, we can't do anything. And to live outside of the Zendo, we have to make effort to, make our distorted map even a little bit more accurate by studying more and inquiring more information about the world or the life, and also by working together with other people and listen to other people, our limited view become even a little bit broader and more flexible. I think that kind of effort should be done. And also in the case of Buddhist, we study what Buddha taught and what Buddhist teaching teach about the way we see the world. Then we try to even a little bit, how can I say, more accurate map. I think that is our practice in the Zendo and outside of the Zendo. And we put more weight on this reality of life instead of thinking. We have to examine our thinking based on the real reality, as Uchamro said, we make this reality our center of gravity. It is at this time that we clearly realize that all the desires and delusions within our thought are substantially nothing. There's no substance. That is the meaning of empty or emptiness. So we can't really grasp. We can't really possess anything. Actually, there's no one who is possessing and nothing to be possessed because of emptiness. Then finally he says, when this kind of Zazen experience fully becomes a part of us, even in our daily lives, we will not be carried away by the comings and goings of various images, and we will be able to wake up to our own lives and begin completely afresh from the reality of life. So this, you know, to begin completely afresh from the reality of life is important point. And after I came to United States, I, you know, especially for example, when we had a meeting, like a board meeting, first things, you know, we discussed it, what is the goal, what we want to achieve today, or within a few months or a few years, or long range. To me, that was something very new. New way of thinking. And in the beginning, I had a kind of a resistance, you know, the, how can I say, policy in Zen, traditional Zen is opposite. I mean, there is a, it's okay, there is a Zen expression in Chinese, something like, maybe translation is water flows, or water goes, then makes the ditch. Does it make sense? You know, where the water goes, you know, it becomes a ditch. But in modern times, we do opposite. We make a design of ditch and put the water. To me, you know, this is more natural way of, you know, when the water goes, naturally, you know, ditch is formed. But in modern times, we first make design where this should be. Then we put the water, allow the water flow. That is, to me, the two opposite way of thinking. So in the beginning, I had a kind of a resistance against that way of making decision and making plan for the future. And to me, you know, first water goes is more important than making plan where this should go. But these days, I kind of try make a kind of integration, like the desire to make a plan and goal is a part of the water going, flowing. But to see in this way, I think we need that, you know, plan or goal is still only a delusion, at least illusion. And in a sense, our human ability to see and to think fact is not real thing at present moment is a source of delusion and desires, and yet this ability is really important. Another word for this is a vision or hope. So without this ability to see something we don't see with our eyes at this moment, but something for the future, is really important. In order to live this way, we need some vision or goal. And in the case of Buddhist teaching, cessation of suffering is the goal. And the current starting point is we are suffering. How can we reach the cessation of suffering? If we don't have this ability, you know, something which is not real now, you know, we cannot practice. So this is the same ability, but function in opposite way. One side creates suffering, another side reach the cessation of suffering. So I think it means how we use this ability. And to use this ability to see something which is not really like real right now is really settled down right now, right here. Not being, you know, moved by our desires without thinking, you know, without understanding. Desire is simply desire. I think to do so, this doesn't practice in our case, in our practice, to settle down in a quiet place and face the world. That means face ourselves and face the Buddha and let go and stay being stable. And this is real reality. This is only real moment. You know, future is not real thing. I think this practice is really significant. So this is Uchama Roshi's teaching about the meaning of this very simple and yet strange practice. I mean, Uchama Roshi and also Saoki Roshi, Uchama Roshi's teacher, both said Zazen is good for nothing. To me, this is really important. That means this good for nothing practice enables us to transform the way of life. If we practice this Zazen in order to make better, still our practice is done within this sequence, not here. In order to transform, you know, our Zazen is good for nothing. That means really just sit is important.